Time now to take five for your community. Happy this morning to be joined by Lynn Rumpf. Lynn is the president and the CEO with the Children and Family Services Corporation over in Vincennes. Lynn, how are you, first of all, this morning?
I'm well, thank you, and I appreciate the time.
Well, I appreciate you coming over. We, of course, could be talking about something that has been in the news a lot lately. It's been in the news a little bit before that, and I had to educate myself how long this has been going on, really, and we're talking about the opioid crisis. So, first of all, just kind of an overview for folks who have heard about, but they really don't understand what we're talking about. What is we dealing with the opioid crisis?
Certainly. These are generally opiate-based pain relievers that have been prescribed really over the course of time in an effort to manage pain.
Right.
There was a significant influence on the medical profession 10, 15 years ago to really begin aggressively addressing issues related to chronic pain. And certainly pharmaceutical companies were quick to step up to the table and be part of that solution. What has happened is our growing body of knowledge begins to recognize the real abuse and misuse mm-hmm. of opioids or opiate-based pain relievers and how very addictive they can be. So it's sort of been an insidious sort of evolution,
right,
with a very honorable effort on the part of the medical community to address chronic pain.
Sure.
So now we're dealing with an environment where those opiate-based pain relievers have been consumed by folks who weren't originally prescribed those medications. And so there's this kind of groundswell that has risen up, a recognition, number one, of how addictive they are, and number two, of how misused they are,
right,
by folks in households for whom they weren't prescribed,
mm-hmm.
But I got into my mom's medicine cabinet and helped myself to her particular pain relievers. So that's
wow.
where we are.
Okay. And, of course, we're talking about the obviously the physical toll it takes through the addiction. But, you know, there's a financial toll. Unfortunately, we have to look at the bottom line of that as well.
Absolutely. And I think that's what communities, states, and the nation are beginning to deal with, the real economic influence on employers,
mm-hmm.
And how efficiencies erode with drug addiction, really drug addiction of all kinds.
Sure.
But this one seems to be particularly troublesome because addiction to opioids can so easily slip into heroin use.
Mm.
And heroin is less expensive than opiates, so it's a very easy sort of transition that happens. And then we have some really dramatic challenges facing communities. So, yeah, the economic burden is huge. It impacts transportation. It impacts education. It certainly impacts healthcare. And communities are really beginning to feel the pressures related to that. So I guess that the upshot is communities also now have a responsibility to find ways to begin addressing that crisis. And we could spend a lot of time talking about the crisis and never really get at some of the solutions that are out there. And generally, those are two-pronged. First of all, there are environmental strategies that communities are pursuing to try to rid the community of an oversupply of opioids.
Right.
And then there are those educational efforts that are happening primarily in school-based programming to help our young citizens understand some of the dangers of the misuse of prescription drugs that aren't specifically intended for you.
Mm-hmm.
So as we look at those environmental strategies, they include things like providing communities with opportunities to dispose of unused prescription drugs appropriately. And in fact, Children and Family Services has been very fortunate to partner with law enforcement agencies in Knox County to provide four such drop boxes, all located at the police stations in Bicknell, at Vincennes University, and then at the Knox County Sheriff's Office. Those are available 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. So People can bring their unused prescriptions and deposit those in a safe and secure manner. That's one environmental strategy. Another one has to do with communities really advocating within their own local medical community, advocating for changes in prescriptive practices. The Surgeon General issued a strong advice a couple of years ago to the medical community, recommending some very intense examination of prescriptive practices. Excuse me, and trying to encourage physicians to think through how it is they prescribe medications and for what circumstances. Mm-hmm. For instance, after surgeries or injuries, it used to be a common practice that physicians would prescribe a 30-day supply of pain meds. That's changing dramatically now, down to 10 days perhaps, a renewable prescription, but certainly an opportunity for physicians as well as pharmacists to track how it is opioids are flowing. There's also a central tracking system now available in Indiana where both physicians and pharmacists are maintaining records about the flow of prescription drugs to a community. That way, folks who may be doctor hopping, mm-hmm. We might be able to identify those circumstances more rapidly. So those are some environmental strategies. And at the same time, we're looking at, and actually Children and Family Services is providing programming that is primarily school-based to help young people understand some of the inherent dangers of prescription drugs. Young bodies are vastly different than adult bodies. And when physicians legitimately prescribe opioids for adults and children access those, the influence on their young developing bodies is significantly different. Helping kids understand that is a critical component of prevention strategies, as well as building protective factors in kids to mitigate risk factors that they oftentimes have little control over. For instance, families who experience generational poverty, families who experience generational violence in the home or generational drug abuse. Those are risk factors that kids have to combat. And so if we're able, through partnerships with our school corporations, to build capacity in children, resiliency in children, to be able to fight off or mitigate some of the challenges that those risk factors pose, then we're basically building stronger kids, which is good all the way around.
Sure.
But in this context, within the context of the growth in prescription drug misuse, in drug misuse as a whole, coupled with an apparent sort of underlying support of violence, it's time for us to build resiliency in kids with a good deal more intentionality.
Okay, everything you said sounds good, and I'm sure people listening and thinking that sounds great, and then I'm sure they have tons of questions. So where would be the best place for, you know, answers to these questions, resources they could go to?
Certainly. Children and Family Services is located in Vincennes and is available for any kind of information flow. We can be reached through, actually, we don't have a specific website, so that's kind of odd in these days, but they can give us a call, 812-886-4470, and we'll be more than happy to provide all kinds of information. We've got an entire staff of folks who spend the vast majority of their time on prevention programming, so I'm happy to have folks interested and willing to sort of either seek out information or seek out ways that they can help.
And there's so many different areas and programs that Children and Family Services deal with. We just talked about the opioid situation.
Right.
There are so many.
Yeah, we actually have six different divisions. We do prevention programming. That's what we've been talking about here. That's our PRESA Resources division. We also host our county's CASA program. Hope's Voice is our community services to victims of domestic violence. That's under our umbrella. Mm-hmm. Would urge you to chat with them as well.
Okay, there we go.
And then we have the Southwest Indiana Regional Youth Village, which is a treatment facility for children suffering from substance abuse, conduct disorders, and some sexually maladaptive behaviors. So that's another big part of our business. And then we provide home-based services to strengthen families and try to mitigate crises within families in stress. So, yeah, we're pretty broad-based and pretty proud of the work that our folks do.
Okay, you want to give the phone number one more time?
812-886-4470. And thanks, Arvin. We appreciate the time.
Thank you for joining us.